الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأخول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. صلوات. Tonight we are celebrating the Milad of our fourth Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Last night was the 4th of Sha'ban, which is, according to one of the two narrations, his birthday, although the more authentic statement among our scholars and muhakkikin is the middle nisf and middle of Jamadi al-Awwal, in being the birth of our fourth Imam instead of the fourth of Sha'ban, and the 36th of Hijrah. So the name of this Imam is obviously, like all the Ahlul Bayt have one names, the name is Ali, without a surprise, because Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam had said, if Allah gives me 100, in other words, if Allah give me 100 children, 100 sons, I will name all of them as Ali. So, the names of all the children, all the sons of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is nothing but Ali. And then we use this adjectives to distinguish among them: Ali ibn al-Akbar, Ali ibn al-Asghar, and you know, as-Sajjad, and all those adjectives are added to distinguish between who was the elder and who was the middle one. And some call Imam al-Sajjad al-Islam Ali ibn al-Awsat, that means the middle Ali, because the name of all of his sons are nothing but Ali, and the names of all of his daughters were nothing but Fatima. So this is how Imam Hussein alayhi salam had been doing jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against Muawiyah and his people, who were cursing Imam Ali alayhi salam from every single mimbar and mihrab and every single masjid under the rule of Muawiyah and his empire, were officially commanded to start the khutbah by the sub and cursing of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So in such an environment, Imam Hussein alayhi salam has been naming all of his children with Ali. Look at the jihad of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his courage. So we find that his alqab, his kunyat was Abu al-Hasan and Abu Muhammad, and his alqab were Zainul Abidin and Sayyidul Sajideen. Zainul Abidin means the beauty and adornment of all the worshippers, and Sayyidul Sajideen means the leader of all those who do the sajda, and Az-Zaki means the pure, and Al-Amin means the trustworthy in the Islamic sense of the word, and As-Sajjad means the one who performs sajda a lot. Sighatul Mubalagha. And his mother, like the Ummahat of all the Awliya, has to be a Tahira, a person who is purified. His mother is Hazrat Shahbano Salamullahi Alayha, who was an extremely purified lady. She was the daughter of the king of Fars, Yazjard ibn Shahriyar, and he was the last of the series of the kings. And we find that she herself narrates that, in other words, that I saw in my dream that the army of Muslimin, army of the Muslims is coming, and Prophet came along with Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam and asked, proposed for me, marriage proposal, that means. And not just that, but Prophet actually married Imam Hussein to me. And when I woke up in the morning, when the morning arrived, Imam Hussein alayhi salam's love came into my heart. And on the next night, she says, I saw Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam in my dream. She presented Islam to me, and I became a Muslim through her at that time. And she said that very soon the army of Muslims is going to overcome your father, and you will be brought as a captive, and you will soon arrive to my son Hussein, and Allah is going to protect you, so that in other words, Allah is not going to allow anyone to basically touch his hand to you, and until you reach my son. And Allah obviously protected me till I arrived in the city of Medina, and I saw Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So this is how she certainly was brought as a captive, as an to the city of Medina, and that's where obviously her marriage took place with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and she's the mother of Imam Sajjad. And also, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam narrates about his own father that whenever Imam Sajjad alayhi salam used to remember any ni'mat of Allah, he used to do the sajda. He never used to read an ayat which has sajda, except that he used to go into sajda. And whenever Allah used to remove any evil from him, any wrong, bad from him, he used to do, the sajda. Or whenever any makr or evil plan of the evil planners was removed by Allah from him, he used to do the sajda. Whenever he used to be done from his wajib prayers, he used to perform the sajda. And whenever he used to get a tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make peace between two people, he used to do the sadaqah. This is one of the very high level sawab in Islam. You know, salahu zat al-bayn in Islam, in our ilm al-akhlaq, we have been commanded to work hard to make sure that there is peace, not only peace between two mu'min brothers, but also salahu dhati baynikum. That's also in the wasiyat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Usikum bitaqwallah wa nadhmi amrikum wa salahi dhati baynikum. And salahi dhati al-bayn actually means that not just you address a problem, an ikhtilaf, a division, a controversy among two mu'min brothers, but actually you root out the roots of the matter from their hearts. So the root of the matter, you're not addressing a conflict from the surface, from the satr. You're rooting out the conflict so it no longer exists. This is called salahu zati bainikum. And Imam Ali alayhi salam had said that I heard from Rasulullah that salahu zati, this kind of salah azat al-bayn, in other words, is afdal min amat salat, it's afdal than 1 year of prayers. You pray for one whole year, and imagine the sawab of praying for an entire year, and you sit together with two mu'min brothers and you resolve their matter from the roots. This has more sawab than praying for 1 year. So in Islam, this is extremely emphasized. Now, obviously, what Imam al-Baqir al-Islam says, whenever he used to do islah and correction between two, he used to, got the tawfiq from Allah to do that, he used to do a sajda. And this is how Imam al-Islam is thanking Allah so much. And the asar, the impact of sajda, was visible on all parts of his sajda. And this is the reason why he is called Sajjad, someone who performs sajda a lot. It's a tense of mubalagha and exaggeration. In the case of Imam Sajjad, it's not exaggeration, it's perfectly real. But the tense itself, what I was saying, exaggeration, I'm trying to say the tense of Sajjad is the tense of exaggeration in Arabic grammar. So when you are trying to say that somebody performs something a lot, that's where we use that tense. The mawdu' as-sajda, seven parts of the sajda, seven parts of our body that touch the ground, we call them mawadi' as-sajda. In these seven parts, it became stiff and hard because Imam Sajjad al-Islam used to do a lot of sajda. If you strike the ground, your hand so many times, your forehead strikes the head, that land, the head, the soil so many times, likewise your knees, your feet, obviously, when you strike it so many times, there is a mark appearing on not only your forehead, but all parts of your body. And those stiffness, hard, it becomes hard. The skin becomes hard and stiff. That's what in Arabic we call it safana. And the plural is safanat. So Imam Sajjad al-Islam, one of his alqab, is also zussafanat. The person who has those hard points on his body, hard points of sajda. And not just that, but all these safanat, these hard points of on his body, because of doing the abundant sajdas, they used to cut those hard parts. The skin used to get so stiff from those parts that it used to be cut twice in every year. So twice every year they used to cut off the skin from Imam's body because it became so stiff for doing abundant sajdas. And sajdas obviously carry their own weight and wazn in Islam, but we need to be keeping this point in our mind that sajda with the ma'rifat of Allah has the whole value in Islam. If you, anybody performs, I mean, sajdas were also performed by Khawarij, isn't that right? Not just that, but they also used to do a lot of sajdas in Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, and all those ibadat and tilawat of Quran. Isn't that right? When Imam Ali alayhi salam sent Abdullah ibn Abbas in the beginning of the Battle of Nahrawan, and to for doing the nasihat and the advice, Abdullah ibn Abbas came back and said, "Lahum aidin ka safanatil ibil." Isn't it right? That their hands, that means Khawarij people, the Khawarij, their hands are like the hooves of the camels. You know, what? Jibahun qariha. Lahum jibahun qariha litulis sujood. That means there are marks on their foreheads because of lengthy sajdas. وَأَيْدٍ كَسَفَنَاتِ الْإِبِلِ. And their hands are like the hooves of the camels. So, we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived by some of those people who have marks over their foreheads without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, without the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There is no value for this sajda, or your Salatul Layl, or your Tilawat of Quran, without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, without the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That's why one of my teachers in the teachers of the Hausa was saying that every Shia must study the history of Khawarij. Every Shia must study the history of Khawarij, because Khawarij were Shias. So we don't end up becoming like them. So let's not consider ourselves that, well, we are so nice because, you know what, we are born to such and such parents and we are, it's already a given value for us. We are already mu'mins in the walayat of Amir Mu'mineen alayhi salam. We are so good. We are already okay. Khawarij were also like this, isn't that right? They were, all of them were Shias. They were fighting along with Imam Ali against Muawiyah. Isn't that right? So Khawarij, all of them were Shia. And look at that, that after, in the middle of the Battle of Siffin, they converted into Khawarij. And they started to say that Imam Ali is a kafir. Muawiyah is a kafir, and Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is also a kafir. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. How can a person reach that low level that you can call your imam to be the kafir? So that's why one of the teachers of the Hausa was saying every Shia must study the history of Khawarij. So we do not end up becoming abidun nasikun jahil. And an abid person doing a lot of ibadat and piling up the worships without the ma'rifat and with the jahil and without the noor. And this, these were the best tools of shaitan. So this Khawarij people, look at how they slaughtered Khabbab ibn al-Arrat rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, one of the greatest Shias of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, one of the greatest lovers and muhibbin of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, and his wife. Khabbab ibn al-Arrat was passing by before the Battle of Nahrawan took place. And they, he was passing by on his way and he met so many Khawarij were present. And they stopped him. And this poor mu'min, nice mu'min person, was walking by with his wife. And his wife was pregnant. And they asked him that, "Do you love Ali?" And he said, "Yes." And because of the love of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, not only they killed Khabbab ibn al-Arrat, but they also killed his wife and they killed the baby in her womb as well, because this baby will also end up becoming a lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Can you imagine a Shia can reach that level? Yes, it has reached already. They were Shias who became Khawarij. So, Mawdu' al-Sajda, we are praising the Mawdu' al-Sajda and Asar of Sujood and the signs and impacts of Sajda on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam because of the Ma'rifat and Noor. Otherwise, if a person performs Sajda without the Ma'rifat and Nooraniyat, there's no value for that Sajda. It would be like the Khawarij. like these stupid Taliban. So Zuhri narrates that Imam, when somebody asked why Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was called Zainul Abideen, he says this, the narrates the riwayat from Sa'id ibn Musayyib, that Ibn Abbas said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the Day of Judgment, the announcer will announce, where is Zainul Abideen? And as if I see my son Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam will open up the ranks, the sufuf, and come out with viqar and, you know, tranquility and viqar and that kind of dignity. He will come out from Ahlul Mahshar, from all, among all the people who were gathered on the Day of Judgment. He will rip all those sufuf and come out. So this is in the hadith of Rasulullah. That's how Imam Sajjad will come out in front of all the, in front of the Ahlul Mahshar, all the people who are gathered on the Day of Judgment. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam will be called on the Day of Judgment on behalf of Allah. An announcer will announce, where is Zainul Abideen? And that's how everybody will know and see Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam and recognize. And also in Kashful Ghimma, Fi Ma'rifat al-A'imma, one of the beautiful books talks about the fada'il of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We learn that the reason why Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam was given this laqab is because he was standing in tahajjud, in the Salatul Layl, in the night prayers, and shaitan came in the form of a big snake. And obviously, he was trying to derail Imam alayhi salam from praying the Salatul Layl, and to keep him away from the ibadat and worships. And Imam alayhi salam didn't pay attention to the snake. Shaitan, who came in the form of the snake, obviously shaitan is a jinn, and al-jinna yatashakkarun bi-ashkalin mukhtalifa. That's the nature of the fire. Jinns can transform into various forms and shapes. Shaitan came in the form of the snake, and he grabbed the thumb of the feet of the Imam with its mouth, but Imam still did not pay any attention. And after he was done with the prayers, that's where he found that it's a shaitan. And Imam alayhi salam said to shaitan that, go away, mal'oon, and again started his prayers. And that's where Hatif, that means an announcer from the ghaib, announced three times that Anta Zainul Abideen, you are the adornment and beauty of all the worshippers. That's how basically it's, you know, the laqab of Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam was announced. It's similar story had also, not exactly similar but quite similar, happened when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was praying. And in the house next door, there was a fire taking place. And when the fire took place, obviously, you know, naturally people go into rush. They rush to escape, find escape, and, you know, save themselves. So somebody came to inform Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and Imam was just praying. He didn't pay attention to all the noise that was taking place and people rushing and saving their life, and Imam didn't pay attention to none of those things. And finally, when they came after Imam alayhi salam was done with the prayers, they came to talk to him that so much has happened, so much was going on, people were saving their lives, they were running away from the fire next door, and you didn't even pay attention to what is going on. And Imam alayhi salam replied that, al-hatni anha an-narul kubra. That means the bigger fire engaged me away from this. That means this is a smaller fire, in other words. I was busy in extinguishing the bigger fire. He's talking about Jahannam. So I was busy in extinguishing the other fire, and that engaged me from paying attention to the smaller fire. Not the exact words, but I'm explaining it to you. So this is how, and obviously my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah, was saying in his explanation that this can only happen for those who can see the bigger fire. Those who can see Jahannam, isn't it right? For those people who have learned Jahannam as a bookish information from the books only. Jahannam is like this and this and this, and the fire of Jahannam is like this and this. This is not going to cause you to be engaged in extinguishing that fire so much that you don't even pay no attention to anything and anyone else. A bookish information of fire can never empower you to pay attention to extinguish that fire unless and until your knowledge is not bookish, but your knowledge is based on mashhudat, that you have been seeing the hellfire with his eyes. And this is the sign of Ahlul Yaqeen, because only the Ahlul Yaqeen are eligible to see the realities, not only just learn it from the books, which even the kafirs can also learn. Isn't that right? There's so many kafirs who are learning about Islam and doing their research and writing their papers and articles, running their blogs. Isn't that right? There's so much. It's not a big deal if a Muslim guy learns about from some of the books and learns about hellfires like this and this and this in the light of the hadith of the Prophet. Not a big deal. Kuffar can also learn that much, find out from our books. Some of their libraries have, you know, almost all of our books available in their libraries, isn't it right? So what makes the person fear in the real sense is only when you see. So we find that the morality of the Imam, the akhlaq, one of the members of the family of Imam, one of the family members of Imam actually insulted the Imam and used an abusive word against him. Imam didn't say anything. That was the constant seerat of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. They used to forgive the people who were insulting them personally, but they never used to forgive the people who used to insult Allah. And the same exactly is what Allah does towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. You know, Allah maybe ihtimalan is not a surprise, not a ta'ajjub, because his rahmat is mutlaqa and wasi'ah. Maybe ihtimalan, if Allah wishes, he can forgive anyone who can insult Allah. Isn't it right? It's up to him. His rahmat can forgive. But Allah never forgives the person according to his sharia. He never forgives the person who insults Rasulullah or insults the Ahlul Bayt. That's the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are also obliged to follow the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the way Allah does. Anybody who insults the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt can never be forgiven. So the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they have the right. Because sahibul amr, you know, sahibul qadiyya, the party to the issue. And if somebody insults you, you are the party to the matter. You know, you are sahibul qadiyya. You can forgive. You are alive, you can do that. That's your something related to you and your life. You have the right to forgive. But no one else after Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, after the Ahlul Bayt, after Rasulullah, me and you don't have the right to forgive anybody who insults the Prophet. Who are we? Even the mujtahid doesn't have the right to forgive an insulter of Rasulullah or insulter of Ahlul Bayt on Rasulullah's behalf or Ahlul Bayt's behalf. Mujtahid is not the naib and deputy to forgive on Allah's behalf, on Rasul's behalf or Ahlul Bayt's behalf. Did Rasulullah give that niyabat to the mujtahid? No mujtahid has the power to forgive anyone who insults Rasulullah. This is not the niyabat, does not include that right. So yes, the Prophet and Ahlbayt can forgive if they are present. If they are not present, the Sharia will be applied. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam used to forgive people who were insulting him. And he didn't say nothing. And we find when this person of the family of the Imam insulted, used abusive word, and Imam said to the people of his gathering that didn't you hear what he said? And now come along with me so you see my answer towards his abuse. And that's where we find Imam alayhi salam went and he was reading this ayat, Wal Kaazimeen al Ghayb, those who in other words control their anger, Wal Aafina an Nas, and forgive the people, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen, and Allah loves the good doers. In other words, so Imam alayhi salam went and reached the house of that person of his family, called him. He was obviously expecting a response from the Imam, a response towards what he has done. And Imam alayhi salam said, when he came out of the house, whatever you said, if it is there in me, I pray to Allah, I seek from Allah to forgive me. And whatever you said, if it's not there in me, I ask Allah to forgive you. And he replied, when he heard this great statement of the Imam, he said, what I said is not found in you. And actually it's my fault. It's my fault that what I said. He kissed the forehead of the Imam. And obviously that's how he repented over what he had done towards the Imam. This is how they were used to behave towards their enemies. But they were so strict towards the enemies of Allah. You know, Ashadda'u ala al-kuffar Muhammadun Rasulullah. Allah sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Quran says Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Walladina ma'ahu, and those who are with him, Ashadda'u ala al-kuffar, they are shadeed and severe upon the kuffar. Ruhama'u baynahum, they are merciful and rahim towards each other. So we find that in another similar story, we find that there was another person who abused abusive language against the Imam. Some of the followers of the Imam wanted to take care of him, and Imam stopped them. And Imam said, just leave him on his situation, in other words. And he said, مَا سُتَرَ عَنْكَ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا أَكْثَرَ, whatever among our deeds are hidden from you are more than what you know. And Imam talked to that person and said, if you need any hajat, if you have any hajat, any need, I'm ready to help you out. And Imam gave him the aba, that he was the black aba that Imam Sajjad al-Islam was wearing. He gave away his own aba to him. Aba is a very respectable dress, and obviously the sunnah of Rasulullah. And this is something that is how you are respecting a person. If you give them your aba, you respect them. It's a way of providing izzat and respect to the person. So the Imam is basically respecting him and giving him his personal gift, personal belonging, and also gave him 1,000 dirhams, which is 100 dinars, 100 gold coins. 1,000 dirhams and 1,000 silver coins, so it's a significant money. And that person, obviously, he replied, when he got this behavior, he replied that I bear witness that you are the son of Rasulullah. You are among the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the sahawat and jood of our Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam was not only for their supporters, it was inclusive of their enemies as well. But it was never inclusive towards the enemies of Allah. And this is what where some people need to, you know, correct their concepts about the behavior of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And we are supposed to be like this in the same way. So we basically are not supposed to, forgive. We are supposed to forgive. We should try our best. See, in Islam, according to the fiqh, you have the right to reciprocate. If somebody says X to you, you are allowed in the Sharia to say X to him as well. If somebody says Y and X, you are also allowed in the Sharia to exactly say Y and X. You cannot add anything further in what he said. If you add something further, you have done more zulm against him. Obviously, if you say X and he said X and you say X, now you are almost equal towards him. You exercise your right. He is worse because he started. Al-Badi Avlam, the hadith says. The one who starts has more zulm. Is the bigger zalim. So obviously he has more zulm, but you are almost equal to him. This is not part of the hadith, and I'm saying to you, you're almost equal to him, you use your right, and you became similar to what he did. But if you forgive, then you become superior in your nuraniyat and azmat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try our best. Yes, you have the right to reciprocate exactly in the same way without adding anything, but if you forgive those people who are doing bad towards you, you are azim and great in the eyes of Islam. But we are never supposed to forgive. We are not even entitled to forgive those who are insulting either Allah or the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, or any other moment. If somebody insults you, I don't have the right to forgive him. Who am I? You can forgive. Nobody else can forgive. So even for the rest of the mu'mineen, if somebody insults another mu'min person, no one has the right to forgive you. This insulter. We find that our Imam was just like the rest of the members of Ahlul Bayt, was praying 1,000 rak'ats of prayers every day and night. So one day and night, including the day and the night, the rak'ats of prayers combined together, just like it's narrated for Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. In a day and night, every day of his life, he used to pray 1,000 rak'ats of prayers. Same for the rest of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is narrating that from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, from his father. And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is talking about his father, which is Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, that basically Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam had 500 trees of dates, and close to every tree he used to pray 2 rakats of prayers. Close to every tree, that means he used to keep on moving 2 rakats of prayers under this tree, then 2 rakats of prayers under that tree, then 2 rakats of prayers under this tree. Because under that, 500 trees. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, my father used to pray 2 rakats close to every tree. And his parts of the body used to shake. That means while he was praying, it was shaking from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prayers that he used to perform was Salatul Muwaddi'. That's how we are also commanded, obviously. I'm talking about myself, that we are sinners and we don't have those kinds of prayers, but we are supposed to elevate ourselves, so we also pray every salat of our life as Salatul Muwaddi'. Salatul Muwaddi' means a person who is bidding farewell towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing wida. Wida means farewell. When you are bidding farewell, that means you know that you are this, you pray your salat in a way that you should think this is the last prayers of your life. You're doing your wida. You don't know when we are going to die. Maybe this is the last prayers of my life. This is the last opportunity I can get to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person prays, considering his prayers to be his last prayers, this is what is called Salatul Muwaddi'. That's how every Salat of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was like that. And Imam used to, whenever a religious student used to come to meet with Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he said, Marhaban bi wasiyyati Rasulullah. So basically he used to welcome the religious students. So a religious student has a lot of respect in Islam. You know, whenever you find a person who goes to any hawza, any madrasa to learn the ulum of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, if you happen to find one of those students, you have to respect him. And that's where the barakat and nuraniyat is going to come. And it has a lot of sawab. See, Allah is already respecting the talib al-ilm. Not so much so that when a talib al-ilm comes out of his house and goes towards seeking the knowledge, not a single step of his walk is he's putting his feet on the ground. Every single step that he's taking, he's putting his step over one of the wings of one of the angels. Angels of Allah never allow any step of the talib al-ilm to be put over the soil. They find it a sharaf and a great blessing for them to let the step of the talib al-ilm fall on their in their wings instead of falling over the soil. Inna al-malaika, the Prophet has said, Inna al-malaika la tawa ajnihataha tahta aqdami talib al-ilm. You know, malaika certainly put their wings under the feet of the person who seeks the knowledge. And all the wet and the dry, till the seventh layer of the earth, all the wet and the dry do the, you know, tasbih for the sake of the talib al-ilm. Talib al-ilm yastaghfir lahu kull shay. Al-hitan fil bahr wa tayru fi jawi as-sama. You know, all the fishes in the oceans and all the birds in the sky, all of them seek forgiveness for the person who goes out to seek the knowledge of Quran in Ahlul Bayt. So Imam alayhi salam was, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was the sponsor of 100 families in the city of Medina. 100 families were completely sponsored by Imam alayhi salam. You are mukallaf to do as much as you have, isn't it right? Whatever you have, as much as you can afford, that's your takleef. Takleef of ma la yutaq laysa fil Islam. You don't have any takleef more than our reach. Whatever is your income, whatever, everybody knows it best. More than your necessities of life, we must work hard to sponsor children. I don't know if I'm going to die after this speech or even during this speech. Isn't that right? I walk out of this markaz and I die. Isn't that right? And what is going to happen to my family and my children and my, you know, people of my who are close to me? If I am taking care of orphans of others and widows of others, then Allah will take care of my orphans and my, you know, family members as well. That's the way it works. So Imam alayhi salam, you know, they did more than what they were obliged to do. They had the ithar in their life. You know, ithar is more than, you know, sadaqah and you know, basically doing what your fariza is. They sacrifice their own needs. Imam used to love the orphans and the blind people and the people who are weak, the people who are disabled, the masakin, the poor people, and who have no one to take care of them. And he used to carry the food with his own hands to those people. Imam alayhi salam used to carry the food regularly to those people with his own hands. So people of these categories were, you know, they were familiar with the Imam. So everyone who is, people who were disabled and blind and miskeen, they were all familiar with the Imam. So we find that Imam al-Baqir al-Islam says that my father became ill, and his father asked him, that means Imam Hussein al-Islam asked him, that what do you like? You know, when a person becomes ill, sometimes, you know, you want, obviously it's sawab to do the iyadat, and you want to serve the ill people and give them things that they want to eat. Isn't that right? So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is asking from his son, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, what do you like? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is ill. And Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam replies to his father that I want to be the way I am. That means I want to stay the way I am. In other words, I don't want to choose anything over what Allah has chosen for me. So Allah has chosen for me this illness, this state, this condition, in other words. So I want to be remaining in this same situation because that's what Allah has chosen for me. Look at the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam replied to him, فَقَالَ لِي أَحْسَنْتَ. You did good. وَاهَيْتَ إِبْرَاهِيم الْخَلِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. You became mushabih and shabih and resembling to Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam. حَيْثُ قَالَ جِبْرَئِيل عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So Jibreel said to him, Jibreel said, هَلْ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ. Do you have a need? And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam replied, لَا أَقْتَرِحْ عَلَىٰ رَبِّي. I'm not going to make a suggestion over what Allah has already done, in other words. I mean, over Allah. Allah has decided something for me, in other words. That's what I want as well, whatever Allah decides for me. I'm not going to put my suggestion on top of His will. بَلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Instead, Allah is enough for me and He's the best, wakil. We find we are discussing the akhlaq of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, and Ibn al-Asir is a very famous Sunni historian. He narrates that when Ahlul Madinah didn't do the bay'at of Yazid, they broke the bay'at of Yazid. Yazid obviously started to do all those madalim. The city of Medina was full of zulm, you know, waqatul harra. That's what we call it in the history. Yazid allowed his evil army to do whatever for 3 days and nights. For 3 days, Yazid allowed his evil people to do whatever. 8,000 bastard children were born for those 3 days of crimes of Yazid's army in the city of Medina. 8,000 waladul haram in 3 days of the crimes. So this is the city of Medina. So we find that it was a chaos. It was, you know, so such a terrible situation in the city. No one was protected. No one was feeling protected because that's the way the situation was. So even Marwan came to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, because Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's home was the only house that was protected. This is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the city of Medina is the same city who did not do the bay'at of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is a lesson that we need to remember. They didn't do the bay'at of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and they accepted Yazid to be the Khalifa. Isn't that right? Except those, some of the muttaqeen. So the rest of the people did the bay'at of Yazid. And despite this situation, Yazid had no values and no principles and no Islam and no Iman. So basically, he tied up the horses on the grave of Rasulullah. When his army came, his army was tying up their horses. Horses were standing next to the grave of Rasulullah. He was a kafir. He showed his kufr in every form. So Marwan was also not secure. And he brought his wife. His name was Aisha bint Osman. That was the wife of Marwan. So he brought his wife to the house of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. If you can, please keep my wife in your house and protect her from all that evil that is going on in the city. He has no control over what is going on and he is unable to protect his own wife. Imam alayhi salam, first he took his wife to Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab. Abdullah ibn Umar refused it. He did not accept. And then later on he came to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and Imam accepted. See, Marwan is a very evil guy. And look at the akhlaq of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, which is similar to the akhlaq and morals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam alayhi salam accepted his wife, protected her along with side his own family members, and kept her safe. Now, before I come to the end of my speech, just like I always do, some of the ahadith from this Imam. This is the best opportunity to learn from what our fourth Imam, As-Sajjad alayhi salam, has said. So, some of the ahadith, I think I have mentioned two here. Imam has said to his companions that some of his companions, Ashabi, Ikhwani, Alaykum Bidar al Akhirah, Wala Usikum Bidar al Dunya. So remember, keep, take the notice or take care of the final abode, which is the akhirat, and I'm not going to advise you about this dunya, the abode of this dunya. فَإِنَّكُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَبِهَا مُتَمَسِّكُونَ أَمَا بَلَغَكُمْ مَا قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ لِلْحَوَارِيِّينَ. What Isa ibn Maryam said to his his Hawariyin, people who used to be always close to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, are called Hawariyin. Prophet Isa has said to his Hawariyin that Qantara fa'buruha wala ta'muruha. Prophet Isa alayhi salam in his hadith has said to his Hawariyin about this dunya, that this dunya is like Qantara. In Arabic means a bridge. It's like a flyover, a bridge. This dunya is like a bridge, in other words. Fa'buruha, cross over it. وَلَا تَعْمُرُوهَا, and don't construct it. أَيُّكُمْ يَبْنِي عَلَى مَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ دَارًا. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, which one of you constructs his house over the wave of the ocean? Is there anybody who constructs his house over the wave of the ocean? تِلْكُمُ الدَّارُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوهَا قَرَارًا. See, all the selling of the iman today and tamalluk and buttering up of taghuts taking place by various organizations and people in different cities, isn't it right? Doing the buttering up of zulm and zalimeen is because they want to live in this dunya and they want to protect their material interests. This is the best opportunity when we are talking about Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to understand our why Ahlul Bayt are so azeem in the eyes of Allah. And what's the difference? What makes us different? What makes us a real follower of Ahlul Bayt? The second hadith of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and I will end there, where he says, Miskinun ibn Adam. Poor is the son of Adam. That means a human. In other words, how poor is the human being? It's a pathetic situation, in other words, for a human being. Lahu fi kulli yawmin salasu masa'ib. For him, in every day, there are three masa'ib. And لا يعتبر بواحدة منهن. He's not taking lesson from one of those three. And that means from none of those three he's taking the lessons. First musibat that every human faces is the decrease in his age. Every day which is passing by, in other words, there is a nuqsan, there is a decrease taking place in our age. So we are getting closer and closer to our death. Isn't there a big loss taking place? Every day there is a loss. This is a musibat. For some people, they are, you know, a dunya suqun, how the hadith says. Dunya is a marketplace. You know, rabiha fiha qawmun wa khasra fiha akharun. There are some people who benefited from dunya, wa khasira fiha akharun, and others lost in dunya. So in this marketplace there are some losers and some people who are gaining. Second musibat that a human is facing is obviously the istifa'ur risk. Every day, the risk, in other words, which we are consuming, the mal, the risk, you know, in the halal there is hisab. In the haram, there is iqab and punishment. So every day we are engaging in the risk. How are we engaging? From halal or from haram? If we are engaging from a risk, this is coming from the haram source. Even if you buy a halal chicken, from the money which is from haram, it doesn't make you no closer to Allah. It makes you farther away from Allah. The same chicken is also haram to eat, even though it may be slaughtered Islamically with the six conditions, because the money is from a haram source. Isn't it right? So we find that for in the halal there is hisab, in the haram there is iqab. So Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam is buying two shirts, and then he asks his servant Qambar to get the better of the two shirts for him. Because Imam Ali feels embarrassed before Allah to give himself tarjih and preference over him. Imam Ali alayhi salam is not ready to give tarjih and preference to himself over any other mu'min, although he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Look at the tawadu and modesty. This is the azamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So in the halal, he knows there is hisab. In the haram, there is accountability. So some people say, no, don't learn about the ahkam of the sharia. If you learn, if you get closer to the ulama, to the maulana, you will get to know so many things and you will feel obliged, and that will cause your life into troubles. Isn't that right? They don't understand that there is no excuse in Islam for not knowing. Not knowing the law is not excuse even in America. Isn't it right? You will try it. If you break a stop sign and the cop sees you, you're going to say, sir, I didn't see the stop sign. Well, you were supposed to see. Isn't it right? I didn't know the law that I'm not supposed to go into the carpool lane because I was driving alone in the car. You don't know the law. That's your fault. Not knowing the law is no excuse. Isn't it right? And the same is what Islam says. Nothing outrageous. So if you don't know the law, that's not an excuse for you. We have to learn so that we don't end up after we reach the age of 50 or 60 or 70 and then all the kafaras getting piling up, and finally we find that we are stuck. Now I cannot give kafara of my 30 years of siyam. 30 years of siyam, if you didn't fast or all your siyam were batil, just imagine how can a person give the kafara of 30 years? Obviously, it's wajib to give, but I'm just saying it becomes not feasible, isn't it right? In the usual situations. So there's no excuse for a person to say, well, let's just keep away from learning the knowledge. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, لَوَدَدْتُ أَنَّ أَصْحَابِي ضُرِبَتْ رُؤُوسُهُمْ بِالسِّيَاطِ حَتَّى يَتْفَقَّهُ. I love my companions, their heads are beaten with the slashes so that they end up having tafaqquh in Islam. Tafaqquh, in depth and learning of the religion. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam agrees, even if his companions are beaten up with the slashes, at least they end up learning it, good. At least they learn the fiqh, the tafaqquh, the deen, the Islamic understandings. Not only fiqh, the whole religion. So we find the third musibat for every human being is that every day and night he's getting closer to akhirat, getting one manzil, one station closer to akhirat, but he doesn't know whether he's heading towards the heaven or the hell. Isn't it right? Look at the wisdom of the Imam. So if a person is heading towards the heaven, nobody knows who is getting towards closer to what. Obviously, if a person is getting closer towards the hellfire, because at the end of his life, his khatima, his end of the life is mu'tabar. It's not a matter of iftikhar and pride, brothers and sisters, that we are born to, you know, such and such parents. This is not a matter of pride. Salman Farsi was not born to mu'min parents. He was born to kafir parents. But he reached so high that Prophet said, Salman minna ahlal bayt. It's not a matter of fakhr at all to be born in what kind of parents. What is a matter of fakhr in Islam at the time of death? What is your hal? What is your condition at that time? You know, the Sahara in the time, the magicians in the time of Fir'aun were kafir throughout their life, supporting the Tahut Fir'aun. But in the last 3 days of their life, they became mu'min. Isn't it right? And they went to the paradise. So it's not important how you were born. What is important, how you die with the iman and taqwa and fada'il of the ruh, or you die away without the iman and taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wakhzul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din, wakhzul man khazal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin, la sayyim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين